is totally deserving of our adoration. Now, I couldn't say about my dad that I look up to him in every single way. No, we all have our faults, but we all also have a Heavenly Father, zero faults. We can totally look up to. He is totally deserving of our imitation. He's the perfect dad. He always gives us exactly what we need, not what we want. He provides for us in a perfect way. When we go astray, he disciplines us lovingly. He disciplines us lovingly, not out of anger, but out of love, wanting us to be right before him. And he is angry at our sin, but he desires us to be in right fellowship with him. His motivation is always correct, always pure. When we go stagnant, he introduces situations we know as trials that have the potential to grow us if we let them. And we discussed that some this morning. We have a Father that we can follow. Ephesians 5:1 will sort of be our theme verse, and we're going to bounce off of that, and we're just going to be bouncing through Ephesians this whole time. Ephesians 5:1 says, "Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children." Be imitators of God as beloved children. And I was thinking back to the Gospels even just this morning. I was like, man, when God the Father, when he acknowledged Jesus as his son after baptism, after the transfiguration on the mountain, that is what he called Jesus, right? He's like, this is my beloved son with whom I am well pleased. And in Christ, that is who we are now. In Christ, is it says that we are now beloved children. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. We have a Father totally deserving of imitation, and we are called, as 1 Peter, as Leviticus says, to be holy as he is holy. We are to be different from those around us. Our identity in Christ is that we are his beloved children. We have a Father we can follow. He is totally worthy of our imitation, and we will see many of those admirable traits as we look into the book of Ephesians. This is by no means exhaustive on who God is and what it means for God to be the Father of us, for God the Father being one person in the Trinity. We're not going to look a lot into that, but really just into what Ephesians has to say are admirable traits of our Heavenly Father. So if you turn back to Ephesians 1, the very start of Ephesians, we see our first picture in that we have a Father that has adopted us. We have a Father that has adopted us. So I'm going to read the first several verses here, verses 1 through 14, as we really dive into God's word here. Ephesians 1, verses 1 through 14. And I'll go quickly through parts just to get through, but I will stop in slow parts that we're going to spend a little more time as well. So Ephesians 1, 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. This is the first section, the biggest section that we will be looking at this morning. We have a Father we can follow, and one of those character traits, how he relates to us, how we relate to him, is that we are adopted by him. We have a Father that has adopted us. We have a Father that has adopted us. In our adoption, it means that he has chosen us, that he has chosen us. Looking back in your Bibles at verses 4 and 5, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of his will. And just how powerful that is to think that he chose you, he chose me. If you are in Christ, you are chosen. You are special to God. It was his choice to pull you near to him. And we don't understand all of God's part. We have that debate whether, okay, did God call or did I believe? And they both work together in a glorious, a beautiful way. We don't fully understand God's part, but our part is to believe in what he's done for us. He chose us before the foundation of the world for a purpose, to be holy, to be blameless. And so a question I ask myself in studying this, and a question for you guys, is how am I doing at that purpose? Am I being holy? Am I being set apart? Am I living different than the world, or am I just sort of going with the flow there? Am I different from the world? Am I blameless in the world? Is the only thing people can say that's wrong about Joel is that he is standing for truth. He's standing on God's word, and he's narrow-minded. He's just thinking about what God's word says. He's not accepting other points of view. Is that the only thing they can find blame in me for? And if I'm standing with God, I know I'm in the right. How am I doing at that purpose? Our adoption means that he has chosen us. Our adoption means that we should praise him. If we look down at verse 6, all of this to the purpose of his will, going into verse 6, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the beloved. That beloved is Jesus Christ. So we see both, right, in Ephesians, that Jesus Christ, he himself is called the beloved, but in Christ, we are also beloved by God. Our adoption means that we should praise him. Part of why he has saved us and adopted us into his family is to reveal his great grace. None of us at all deserve his grace in the very slightest. None of us do. But part of why he has adopted us is to reveal his grace. And am I praising God for his great grace that he has shown to me daily? In those moments in my life, when things go right, when things go wrong, am I still praising God in the midst of those things? And I could say I do not do that at all times as I should. But that is what God's word shares with us. That's what I am striving for. That's what we should strive for together, praising God even in the midst of any life circumstance. Our adoption means that we have forgiveness. One thing in verse 7 there that it shares with us, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. The riches of his grace. I like that wording there and the imagery that it gives to us. Our sins have been paid for by the blood. We have been forgiven, and the great riches of God's grace has been shown to us. We're not going to read the entire section, but Ephesians chapter 2, verses like 1 through 10 or so, really shows us a picture of who we are apart from Christ. We are children of wrath, children of sin, and that's who we were, and we've came from that to life. And I'll read a few verses there. Ephesians 2, 3 through 5, right in the smack dab middle of that passage. Among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and we were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, those are famous last words of the enemy, right? But God, he had something to say about our state. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even while we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And then it goes on to say in Ephesians 2:8 and 9, for by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not your undoing, it is the gift of God, that no man may boast. So we see that picture of from and to, and because it's Father's Day, I'll share with you, my dad will share often those two words, but God. They're some of his favorite words in Scripture, is that, hey, we were once this way, but God had something else to say about it. And those are a couple of his favorite words that he's shared with us numerous times in growing up. Our adoption means that we have forgiveness. Our adoption means that we have an inheritance and a purpose. An inheritance and a purpose. If we look down at verse 11, in him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. He has a plan and a purpose for you, for I, and part of our inheritance is something we obtain now. We have it now at the moment of salvation. It's part of our inheritance, and that is freedom from sin's dominance in your life, and the gift of the Spirit, peace and joy. The list could go on and on there. But part of our inheritance we will receive later. As we look down to verses 13 and 14, our adoption means that our salvation is final. Our adoption means that our salvation is final. Freedom from sin's presence will come in eternity. So we have part of our inheritance now where is freedom from sin's dominance. It no longer has control of us. We have the ability to be controlled by the Spirit now, here and now. That's part of our inheritance. And that's part of how the Romans and the Roman culture of the day would have understood that inheritance, is that as soon as you were adopted into a Roman family, and most of the time back then it was into a wealthy family, a family with great riches, and that's the picture we're seeing here, right? When we're adopted by our Heavenly Father, it's according to the riches of his grace. Back then, if you were adopted, your inheritance would start right away. You would start receiving the blessings of being in that family right away, the status, the occupation. You would jump right into it. And that's the same way it needs to be in our lives as believers. When we're saved, we're right into the occupation. We're right into God's business of doing what he wants, of living for him. That's part of our inheritance. It's supposed to start right away at the moment of salvation. That's what God has for us. And once one more time, our adoption means our salvation is final. Verses 13 and 14. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. It is for sure. In Roman times, in the Roman adoption process of that culture back then, it was more final. In my studies that I've seen and the things that I've been taught, it was more final if you were adopted than if you were born of someone. If your parents had you, like, they had more freedom to give you up for various reasons. But if you were adopted, that was set. That was for sure. And that's the picture that Paul is getting at here, is that you are sealed, and you're sealed by the Holy Spirit. If you have the Holy Spirit in you, you are not going to be rejected by God, because you have part of him in you, if you have accepted him. Verse 14, who is the guarantee, talking of the Holy Spirit, the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. It doesn't say there that you might get possession of that inheritance later. No, the Holy Spirit is our guarantee. Our adoption means that our salvation is final. Our adoption is to the praises of his glorious grace. Our forgiveness is according to the riches of his grace. Our hope in Christ is to the praise of his glory. All of this, all of the adoption process in the life of a believer, it's all to the glory of God, all to magnify his name. Our hope in Christ is to the praise of his glory. Our possession of our eternal inheritance is to the praise of his glory. Those are phrases that we're all seeing there in Ephesians 1. We have a Father who has adopted us. And I mentioned a lot of the Roman law, and here's a quote from someone who studied it more than I have, just to give us a good picture of what it meant back then, so we can understand the context here. So this is what adoption back in Roman law would entail, and this is by John B. Song. Knowing the meaning of adoption, which preserved Roman power, illuminates the Pauline message. Because back then, if you didn't have an heir, then you would have someone. You'd pick a child, a son, to adopt, and that they would receive your inheritance. So that's how it preserved Roman power in the Roman authority people. The grace of adoption was afforded to slaves of sin to make them co-heirs with Christ. That's what Paul was getting at. Adoption was not an unwelcome status. It was something you longed for. If you were in a lower class, you wanted to be adopted by someone higher up. And as believers, that's what we have. We have been adopted by God. That is awesome. That is amazing. So they longed for adoption in life. They wanted to be adopted by an earthly father with a higher status. Well, we desire, and we want others to desire, to be adopted by God the Father, our heavenly Father. That is a great thing, and that's what they understood. Continuing on with the quote, rather, it was a coveted status among those who could potentially rule the Roman world. It was a good thing to be adopted, is what he's saying. There was nothing more joyful than to discover that one had been adopted by a powerful Roman family. For Paul, the Roman emperors were no gods, for they were mortal, subject to moral corruption. Rather, there was great joy in knowing that one was adopted by God the Father through faith in Christ. For in Christ we enjoy the liberties and privileges of being the children of God. So it is special to us, just like it would be very special for a lower class citizen to be adopted by a wealthy family and obtain that inheritance. For us as believers, when we are adopted, when we are in Christ, we now have special privileges. We are part of God's family. It is a privilege to be a child of God. Our adoption means he chose us, and we should praise him for his grace in that act. He has forgiven us, and we have an inheritance and a purpose. In Roman culture, that inheritance wasn't just a thing after death, as I mentioned before. It was a blessing to be had and given by a father at the moment that the adopted child was welcomed into the family. Our adoption also means our salvation is final. We have the seal, been sealed by the Holy Spirit. It is for sure. We have a Father we can follow. And this Father, he has adopted us. And that is very special, and we should treasure that and not ignore that. We have a Father who has adopted us. The next thing we're going to be looking at, a characteristic of how we relate to God the Father, is we have a Father that we can talk to. We have a Father that we can talk to. And our fathers, the fact is, they will not always be there for us, unfortunately. And whether that's whether bad decision on their part or whether they have been called home, they will not always be there. It could be in these situations that come up, and when we're thinking of that, that reminds us, right, to make the most of our time with our family. And our family members, our fathers, they either know the Lord and they're living for him and they're a good example to us, or if they don't know the Lord, we must be a light and share with them. So we have limited time with our dads, with our families. We should make the most of our time with them, whether they know the Lord or they don't. They need, and we need them, and they need Christ for sure, if they don't know him. And I could think of individuals in my family on both sides of that aisle that I can look up to, that I can learn from, and those that yes, I can respect and learn from their lives in many good things that they're in the way that they're living. But if they don't know the Lord, it's just not the same. It's not the same. While earthly fathers will not always be there, our heavenly Father will always be there. We have a Father that we can talk to, and he always answers perfectly according to his will. It's either a yay, a nay, or a maybe. He always answers us. We see Paul shares his personal commitment to prayer twice in Ephesians. Ephesians 1:16, if you look down in your Bible there. I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. And Paul shares in that passage why he's thankful for the believers there, why he's thankful for what God's doing in their lives. And then if you turn over to Ephesians 3, it actually records one of Paul's prayers here. We'll read through it really quickly. Ephesians 3:14 through 21, sort of bridging the gap in this letter from the first three chapters, the practical, the doctrine, the truth, and the last chapters that are how do you live it out? How do you live out who God is and what he desires of you? So the doctrine and the practice are sort of split in the first three chapters, last three chapters, generally. Ephesians 3:14, for this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven on earth and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory he may grant you to be strengthened with the power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses all knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. And I'd encourage you to read through that those verses more and see a godly example of a prayer and what how we should be talking to God. But both of these statements, both Ephesians 1:16 and Paul's prayer in Ephesians 3, both of these statements show just how practical Paul's doctrine of prayer was to him. It wasn't just something he preached. He lived it outright. So you can imagine him writing along. He's writing this letter out to the Ephesian believers, the Ephesian saints, and just all of a sudden, right in the middle, he just breaks into prayer. It was so natural to him that he's just including it right along in this letter, and he's telling them about God, he's telling them about how they should live, and then all of a sudden he's just in the middle of a prayer. It was so natural to him. He didn't just preach pray without ceasing, as we see in Thessalonians and other places. He didn't just preach it, he lived it. Here he is just writing along, and he just breaks into prayer. Prayer should be second nature to us as believers, or really our only nature, right, is that we are constantly looking to him. Something difficult is happening, we pray to him. Something good is happening, we pray to him. And our tendency is maybe just to pray to him when we need something, when we want something to go right in our lives, in our eyes. But in all times, when things in our eyes are going good, when they're going bad, we are to be in constant communication with the Lord. It's not just the super saints that have access to God. It's not just those people. And we can put people on pedestals and think, oh man, like if I could just pray like them, if I could just live like them. No, that's not the case. We all have access to the Father. And we see that picture as the temple veil is torn in two, right? Is that everyone now, not just the priests, not the priests were the only ones back then that would have access to God, that could talk to God on behalf of the people. No, we all have that access now in Christ, through Christ. Ephesians 2, if you look up a little bit, verses 17 through 19. Ephesians 2, 17 through 19. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near, talking of the Gentiles and the Jews. For through him we both have access in one Spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. We're no longer Martians. We're no longer strangers to God. We have been brought near to Him. We have access to Him. Something else my dad really likes to say, and it being Father's Day, I'll share it with you. You're a saint or you ain't. You're a saint or you ain't. If you are in Christ, you are a saint. Congratulations. You have access to the Spirit through the Father. You have access. You have access. We have access to the Father, no matter who you are. You can talk to Him anytime. One of the things that Paul prayed for the Ephesians, we see in chapter 1, verse 17. So we already read 16, and I'll read it one more time, and we'll move on to verse 17. I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him. Communication is a two-way street, right? We can talk to God and He talks back. We mentioned the yay, the nay, the maybe. It's God answers our requests like that. Yes, no, or wait a little bit. And He also gives the wisdom that we need when we need it and grows us in our knowledge of Him. And all of this is made possible through the Spirit. We can draw near to Him through the Spirit to the Father. And I'm reminded of James 1:5 here. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. There are numerous moments in decisions I make throughout the day that I would do very well to make this more of a priority in my life. And I think for all of us, if I'm lacking wisdom, if I don't know what to do next, if I were to ask God for wisdom in each moment, that would make my life a whole lot easier, and not necessarily easier, but I would be at peace knowing that I'm doing what God wants me to do. We have a Father that we can follow. This Father, He's adopted us, and this is a Father that we can talk to. And in conclusion, we're going to look at, we have a Father who has a standard. We have a Father that has a standard. So if you turn to Ephesians 4, we'll read the first few verses. And I was really enjoying just looking all through Ephesians this week. And of course, we can't just read through the whole thing today and get through it all. But here's a few more that really stuck out to me this week. Ephesians 4, 1 through 6. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. And I was reading this, another thing that stuck out to me was we have a Father who values unity as well. And that's not something we're going to really major on here, but He values that when we're together in the decisions we make in the body of Christ. That is something that is very precious to our Father, and it should be very precious and valuable to us to keep, to maintain unity in our body. And like I said, this is sort of the pivot point of Ephesians. The first three chapters, doctrine, the last three are living it out. And so right here, we're at the crossroads. Paul's laying the groundwork for the rest of the book. And I want to challenge you this week, as you go on to the week, to look more at the practical here in chapters 4, 5, and 6, to read through that on your own this week and look more at what God has for us. He has a standard of humility, patience, gentleness, love, unity in the Spirit, and the list goes on in the coming chapters. I encourage you, like I said, this next week, read chapters 4 through 6 of Ephesians for more practical, everyday living commands. He has a standard. We have a Father who has a standard for us, a standard of what is right, a standard of what is wrong, very clear. It shares practical qualities, how we should be thinking, we should our purity, how we should talk. It shares about the family here. It shares that we are to walk as children of light. A lot of practical examples here at the end of Ephesians. We have a Father that we can follow, one who is an example in every single way to us. And we talked about, hey, we have different fathers. We have different life experiences, but we're all unified in that we have a Heavenly Father that we can follow, one who is an example in every way. We have a Father that has adopted us, and we are special to Him. He has chosen us. We are sealed. It is for sure. We have an inheritance through Christ. We have a Father we can talk to, right? Even though our followers aren't there in every circumstance, and like, I praise God, I can talk to my Father. I can call Him up anytime, and He is willing, and He wants to talk, to pour into my life. But my dad is just a picture of our Heavenly Father. He is not the one that I look to. Ultimately, He is imitating Christ. He is imitating God, the Heavenly Father. We have a Father we can talk to in every moment. There's no super status that we need to achieve, the super saint status. That's not a thing. We can all come to Christ. We have a Father we can talk to. We all have access to the Father through the Spirit. We have a Father that has a standard, and He shares it with us throughout His Word. It is not a question that how we should walk. It is not a question that we have a Father that we can follow. It is without a doubt a fact that we can follow our Heavenly Father. So a few questions as we wrap up here. Are you walking in a worthy manner as a child of God? As a child of God, Ephesians 5, verse 8. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Are you walking in a manner worthy of who God has called you to be? You are adopted. You have a new occupation. You are a child of God. You are a part of His inheritance, of His life now. Are you being a beloved child of God or a rebellious child of God? And I can think of times in my own life where I have been far from a beloved child of God. Yes, that's who God calls me. That's who I am in Him. But when I walk astray, I am being a rebellious child of God. And I want to ask you guys the same question. Are you being a beloved child of God or a rebellious child of God this past week, past month, past year? Are we getting focused? Are we getting right with God? Are we being beloved children, loved by God? God has a standard and structure that He wants from each of us. Am I living in line with that standard? Am I living in line? And once again, those last few chapters of Ephesians, get into the Word in that way, and I'll do the same alongside you guys. Am I helping others obtain the inheritance that I have? Am I helping others obtain the inheritance that I have? Am I helping those who are children of lawlessness that we were seeing in Ephesians 2, right? That's the way it's going. Children of lawlessness, children of sin. Am I helping those individuals become sons and daughters of God? Is how I'm living my life, is how I'm talking, is who I'm sharing about. Who I'm sharing about should be Christ, right? And how I live and how I talk and how I act. Am I helping those who are children of lawlessness become sons and daughters of God? An inheritance, right? It doesn't do any good if it's buried in the backyard. If we have inheritance, and Jesus shares parables about that, of taking what we've been given, the truth that we know, the wisdom that has been passed on to us by fathers, by others in our lives. Are we taking what God has given us, both through the Holy Spirit, through his redemption of us, through his blood? Are we taking that inheritance and burying it? Or are we using that inheritance for his glory, for the praise of his glorious grace? We must seek to use our inheritance to further God's family. So the question we are asked now is, will you make the choice to follow your heavenly Father this week? We have a Father we can follow, a Father that wants us, that has a good purpose and a good plan for us. Are we going to make that choice this week to follow our heavenly Father? So I'll go ahead and pray, and then you're good to go celebrate with your family and remember with your family. So, all right, let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for this day and for this week, and just for the situations that you brought into my life, and just the very valuable share time of hearing other people's stories and other people's fathers and how they lived and ways that we can look up to them. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to imitate them when they are imitating you, Lord. And Lord, help us to remember that we are special, we're chosen by you, that we can talk to you at any time. It doesn't take anything special. We can talk to you, and you talk back to us, Lord, through your word, through situations, through people that you've put in our lives. We can communicate with you, Lord. Lord, help us remember that you have a standard for our lives. Help us to continue to seek that out in your word, and how we live, and how we act, and how we think. Lord, I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hey, dude. How's it going?